This will be a topical sermon this morning, completely topical. And the title here is The Keys to Life. And this started out, obviously, you know, I talk to pastors and I pray, and as we start, we're kicking back off, going back to some more normal services. I do want to, you know, my whole purpose in beginning with this sermon was to cast a vision, which it still is going to be, hopefully, the vision for our church going forward. But when I started studying the more and realizing it's going to be just a sermon that applies to each and every one of us individually, but also hopefully as a church and what we want to do. And it's going to be the keys to life. And let me ask you this question. Do you want to be happy? Anybody want to be happy? Okay. All right. Some of y'all don't want to be happy, but it's okay. Do you want to be blessed? Yeah. Do you want to live your life? As you live your life, do you want to stay on course? All right, here's the last one. Do you want to advance in your life? You know what I mean? Okay. All right. And so I'm going to ask a few more questions. You don't have to raise your hands now, but as we sit there, you know, and I could go on. Do you want your family to be happy? Do you want your family to be blessed? Do you want your family to stay the course? Do you want your church? Do you want this church to be blessed? Do you want this church to advance? All them answers or questions would be answered, of course you do. When it comes to happiness, the pursuit of happiness is essential to human drive, and it's been written in a national constitution as one of the goals of its citizens. It's the pursuit of happiness. And one of the things that are discussed in the beginning of any good philosophy class in college. It's about being happy, about being successful, about being blessed, about advancing in life. Now, I was always taught, and I still believe this, but you know, happiness is based on happenings. Happiness goes up and down. And you know, and I've even said it, I still believe it's true. God doesn't promise, well, yes and no. I'll read a few verses here in a minute, but God doesn't promise for us to be happy. That is somewhat true, because the reason we say that is that we know that in life, we're going to have problems. I mean, we're going to start talking about walking the road that you never wanted to travel. But although there will be problems, there is a promise to some degree to be happy, to be blessed, to be satisfied. Let me read really the key verse that's going to spring us into this. It's Proverbs 19:18. It says this: "When there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And I'm gonna be honest with you, I read that verse. That was gonna be my verse to kind of, you know, launch off to the vision of church until I started studying what that verse means. We'll get there here in a minute. But what you see is, it says there, happy is he. Blessed, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man, it said the word blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'll read another verse, Psalm 2:12. I'm going to read the last part. It says, "Blessed are they that put their trust in him." So these verses, to some degree, and we'll read in a minute what they mean behind, like what the word happy means. But in these verses, there is a certain element that even I have to just say it is there, that there is a certain promise to be happy, to be successful, to be blessed to some degree. Now, you know me by now, I'm not a wealth and prosperity gospel preacher. But there is, when you start reading the Bible and reading through some of the, especially in the Old Testament, you do see a certain element of promise of being happy, to be blessed, and to be successful to some degree. So I want to look at that this morning. And if you want to, you can go back to Proverbs 19:18. It says, "When there is no vision, the people perish." The word vision there, and I'm not going to lie, when I read that, I'm thinking, a vision means when you don't, you know, Brother Mark, when you don't have a plan for the future. You know, when you don't have a plan, that's not a bad thing. The Bible does teach us to have a plan, you know, and to be wise. And I don't know what that was going to say. But actually, if you start studying the word vision there, is it a man-made plan, but it's a statement to God's word. It's talking about prophecies of the Old Testament. We understand that in the Old Testament, they spoke in prophecy. They didn't have the law, but at times God would speak. So when it says vision there, it's a statement to the word of God. When there is no word of God present, people will perish. I want you to hear this. Without the word of God as man's guide, man will destroy himself with his own ideology, with his own philosophy. I'm going to say that again. Without the word of God being man's guide, man's philosophy will destroy them. You've done that in your own life, in a small way. And you start saying, well, I think I should do this, or I feel that I should do this. And when we do that, and that's the world we live in today. The world does that. They live by what they think, logic, what they feel, what makes them feel good. Well, we do the same thing at times. Well, that type of living without the word of God will destroy your life. You see this. When people do not live by the word of God, you see it in young people, old people, single people, married people, religious people, non-religious people. Without the word of God, the lives of people are perishing. And I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about the decisions they make in their everyday life. But in the next part of that verse says this, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And by the way, if you didn't know what visions meant, in Old Testament poetry, and it's called parallelism, where you read the first line, and in the second line, sometimes gives more clarity. So even though you're not sure about vision, you see it said that he that keeps the law, so we know he's talking about God's word. And it's happy as he. The Hebrew word for happy at the root means to advance. It can mean either happy or blessed. And like I said, we all want our life to be happy or blessed. But what's the key? Well, the verse says, the law. The word of God. When you start studying the Old Testament, the who and the why people are happy is directly linked to the Lord, who is the ultimate cause and source of happiness. Jesus' word in the Beatitudes echoed and reflected the Old Testament concept. He said, happy or blessed, in the Beatitudes, blessed on the peacemakers, the pure in heart, the merciful, those who are persecuted for his name. And here's a couple of fun facts about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are a salvation passage. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. It means those who realize that they are a sinner. The word poor there doesn't mean like I got $20 and I'm poor. It means there's nothing there. They're homeless. Okay? When you start, the word blessed there means fully satisfied. So once again, it goes back to going back to God. The way that you're going to be fully satisfied, even in Jesus' word, and the way you're going to be happy in the word of God. Knowing the word of God, following the word of God in your own life. And it starts first with salvation, but then it goes on to say, blessed are those who are merciful, who live out the word of God, those who are persecuted for God, those who are living it out. So once again, who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be blessed? Who doesn't want to be satisfied? Who doesn't want to advance? Everyone does. The answer then is the word of God. That's right, but it's not the complete answer. The complete answer is he that keepeth the law. One guy said this, the lesson is simple, but powerful. God's word is a great blessing, and obeying it is the basis for true happiness. I'll get to it in a minute, but that's the problem with most of the church today. And a lot of people know it, a lot of people quote it, but not everyone's following it and living it. And that's where the key, we have to obey it. God's word is to be obeyed. God's word is to answer. No matter the area of life, the word of God needs to be obeyed. Let's break this down into three steps. Three steps that I know we need to do personally, but also as a church together. First thing here, our goal should be, first step is to learn. To learn the Word of God. And I'll put up here, the Word of God, we need to learn it. We have a problem. The letter A is the problem here, and we need direction. I'm going to read a few, and I'm going all over the place today, which I like this. I've been looking forward to this sermon. I hope you are liking it so far. I don't know. But we are going to read a lot of verses, which is not bad. We need to do that if we're going to do this, but we do just kind of jump around. We need direction. Psalm 119, 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. 1 Peter 2, 25 says, for we are sheep going astray. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that's when I don't like, listen to your heart, follow your heart. Your heart's wicked. And you say, well, that's just semantics. Well, maybe I'm just that way. But the Bible says clearly, you don't need to follow what you feel like doing because your feeling, and even as a safer, can be wrong. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans 7:18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We would all do really good in our lives spiritually if we would believe what Paul said about himself, about us. We on our own don't know what to do. We need God's truth. It's the Word of God. It reveals the authoritative answer to life. I'm going to say it again. The Word of God reveals the authoritative answer. Not just the answer, but the authoritative answer to life. And it reveals the need for a Savior and who the Savior is. God has given us that truth. God has provided it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for improvement, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We don't know what to do, but God gave us the truth. Here's the thing. And we talk about learning. We are to study. We are to learn. We are to understand truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, and workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Here, let me ask you, I'm going to challenge you today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I say, are you reading the Word of God? I think a lot of you would probably say, yeah, I read the Word of God. But let me ask you this question. Are you studying the Word of God? Are you learning the Word of God? Are you understanding the Word of God? Now, I have the luxury to study and for sermons, so I do a lot more of that. But I didn't need to be isolated to me. We all need to study and to learn the Word of God. I like the daily bread, but we need to get deeper than just the daily bread. We need to get deeper than just the milk. We need the meat. And that's what I see throughout a lot of Christians, including myself, is that we got the milk, but we don't have the meat. The Bible says here, we are to study to show ourselves approved. Joshua 1:8 said, the book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The one God is the one perfectly balanced and complete book of existence. And it contains the answers to all the problems in life. But here it is. Here's a quote. But only if men are willing to search out its truth and diligently heed its teachings. You know, so many people have problems, and I'm not shaming anyone, but so many people have problems in their life, and they don't know what to do, but what happens, they wait until the problem arises. I believe this with all my heart. If you will study the Word of God day in and day out, if you'll listen to the preaching, my pastor said this, my mentor, Jeff Jones, he said, a lot of people who come for counseling, if they just came to church faithfully, it would have took care of their need. He said, there's no telling how many times that somebody came to me with a problem and it had just been at church on Sunday, it would answer their question. And so many times when people getting problems, then they want to come. I mean, you know what, like that, I'm going to start a study on Wednesday night about, traveling the road that you don't want to travel. I mean, half people won't be here. We'll have 10 or 15, maybe 20. And for that, I'm hoping, I'm kind of concerned. We ain't had it so long. But then again, sometimes we're going through something tough, and I'll be down and out. And I remember one church member said this to me one time about something like that. And they just came on Wednesday night. It would have helped them so much. What are we doing that? Are we personally learning the Word of God? Are we studying it? Are we wanting to hear it? And once again, I'm doing a topical message. But even, I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to build a topical message. That's why preaching the books of the Bible is so important. You know why? Because you don't need to hear just good preaching. You need to learn the Word of God. You need to learn the context. You need to learn what these words mean. You need to dive deeper into it. And I'll be honest with you, it's not always easy for me to go through a book of the Bible and study. I've enjoyed it, and there's a time for it. But we need to learn the Word of God. See, I'm afraid some people don't want necessarily in-depth God studying the Word of God preaching. They want good preaching. And I'm like, I wish I could be both, but I just can't be. But I'll be honest with you, I'll die on this hill. The most important thing for you is not for me to walk back there and say, man, that was just a great sermon. The best thing for you to walk up and be like, I didn't know that. I learned something today about the Word of God. Because when you learn the Word of God, you're learning about God Himself. You're learning more about what man needs to do. And if only, if men are only willing to search out the truth and diligently heed His teaching. The problem, we need direction, but most of us are not willing to learn it. We don't just need to know it, we need to understand it, we need to learn it. The problem, the average believer doesn't know much of God's Word, and isn't doing what is necessary to learn it. Let me challenge you to learn it. Don't let that be a problem in your life. You say, well, why do we need to learn it? Why? Because the Word of God, let it be here, has a purpose. It has a purpose. And I'm going to turn to, I'm going to 2 Timothy chapter 3 because I don't have it written in my notes. I have most of it written in my notes. I had it earlier, but not here. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm in 1 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. It might help. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that tells us one thing, that scripture is true and dependable. Warren Wimpy said this, whatever the Bible said about itself, about man, about God, life and death, history, science, every other subject is true. Whatever the Bible said, whatever thus says the Lord, is true. It's dependable. It's by inspiration of God. But it says there, if you look there, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. It has a purpose. There's four things. You see the number one, doctrine. Now, I'm not going to go in depth today, but I'm going to give you, I love it. One Warren Wimpy said this. One is doctrine. It tells us what is right. It tells us what is right. This is good. If you take notes, it's good to write down. One is right. What else did it do? What else is the purpose? It said for reproof. One is not right. For correction. How to get right. And then the last one, the instruction of righteousness. How to stay right. I'm going to say that again because that's good. Warren Wimpy is the one that said it. But he said, the Bible is profitable and it has a purpose. There's four things. Number one, for doctrine. What is right? Oh, the world needs that. You need that. What is right? Oh, we get so caught up. We have bought into the world philosophy of what I think and what I feel. And I'm sick of hearing it. And I'm sick of seeing it even in my own life. Not no matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you've always done. What is right? That's what the Bible says for doctrine. What is right? For reproof. What is not right? What is not right? That's the purpose of the Bible. It tells us what's not right. Number three, for correction. How to get right. And I'm not talking, I'm reading, yes, about salvation. But in a church probably filled with saved people. I know it's not always true, but it's probably saved people. So today, how to get right. How, if you're off the course, how to get right. And then number four, for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. In the words of David, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. The Word of God is the answer to everything. We need to be learning it. Let me read what Outlaw said. He's one of the writers for Randall House Commentaries, which is Free Will Baptist Commentary, which I really like, which I would say is that we need to learn. That'd be a great commentary for you to pick up. We are not exaggerating the purpose and the limit of Scripture when we claim that it can meet all the spiritual needs of mankind. It is the perfectly balanced and complete book in existence and contains answers to all the problems of life, but only if men are willing to search out the truths and diligently heed to its teaching. The Word of God has a purpose. It is to lead us correctly. But the problem is that many of us are only on the milk of the word and not the meat. And we're failing to learn it. You need to learn it. Here's the thing. Quit worrying about the things you don't know. And the things that the Bible doesn't really clearly address. And focus on what we do know. Learn it. And let me say this. I was in Bible college. And I'm all about reading good books, but at one old, I'm thankful for the Randy Collinson now. He's probably 90 now. He was in his 70s then, maybe his 80s. Good man of God. Respect him a lot. And he said, be careful that you don't get caught up reading books about the Bible and forget to read the Bible. Let me say that again. Sometimes we get so enamored with reading books about the Bible that we don't read the Bible. Now, we need to read good books about the Bible. We do. I'm going to do that on Wednesday night. I'm going to go to a book. But make sure that you're reading the Bible. Number one, what the key to happiness? Learn it. The key to life. Number two, we should learn it, but we also need to love it. You can learn about something. Hear me out here. But not love it. If you don't love it, then you're not going to follow it. So stay with me. Right around here is the example. Now you can turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to be, for the most part, we will be alluding to Psalm 119 a lot at this point. The example, the Psalms of 119, it's speculated that David wrote it. I don't know who else, and we don't know who actually wrote it, so we'll call them the Psalms of 119. One writer said this, there is no better example of someone loving the Word of God than the Psalmist of 119. The emphasis is on the vital ministry of the Word of God in the inner spiritual life of God's children. It describes how the Word enables us to grow in holiness and handle the persecution and pressures that always accompany an obedient walk of faith. It has 8 different words in Psalm 119 for Scripture. It's the word law, testimony, precept, statute, commandment, judgment, word, and promise. It's all, Psalm 119 is all about, by the way, the little Hebrew words above it? Each little section? That's the Hebrew alphabet. And so each line, like say it's the first one, which is, I guess, alpha. Not right, no, I don't know. Alpha. And each line starts with that Hebrew letter. So it's alliterated. It's alliterated in Hebrew. So I got a Hebrew Bible. If you look at it, each line, like each verse, has that letter that starts with that. So that's what that is. So anyway, just a fun fact. The psalmist loved the Word, not just about the Word of God, but he loved it. One woman had this. His love for the Word of God would put today's believer to shame. Now let's read some of them. Let's see that. Verse 47 and 48. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hand also will I lift up unto thy commandment, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy scripture. Verse 97. Oh, how love I the law in my meditation all the day. 113. I hate vain thought, but thy law do I love. 119. Thou puttest away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandment above gold. Man, that's nowadays, we no one do even love the Word of God, but if we do, we love above the things in our life, the material things. Verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. 159, consider how I love thy precept, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. I think a lot of us, we love gossip more than we like the word of God, don't we? Verse 167, my soul has kept thy testimony. I love them exceedingly. He loved the word of God. I love this quote. I'm just kind of lengthy, but I'm going to read it. Warren Winfield, he had a lot to say in the sermon. The psalmist was not satisfied with having the law in his home, his head, his hands. He wanted the law in his heart, where it could help him love what was holy and do what was right. Oh, we love. We love to have it in our hands. We love to have shirts. We love to be able to quote it. We love to be able to wear a bracelet. All this stuff. Might even love it. And one thing to love the Word of God as an object, but another thing to love the Word of God, to love what it says, and love its purpose. To do what God wants, you have to fall in love with the Word. You need to love it. Now, here's the question. How do I know if I love it? Or how do I fall in love with the Word? Well, that brings the letter B, the evidence. The psalmist claimed to love it, but did he really love it? How do we know he really loved it? Well, by his actions. And if you love the Word, or if you want to fall in love with the Word, you have to spend time in the Word. So I know what I'm saying here is that we're going to know that he loved the Word because he spent time with it, but also today, maybe you're like me, you say, you know, Brother Will, I don't love the Word like I need to. Well, I'm going to tell you how to do it. By looking at the psalmist. Let's look here at the psalmist. I mean, and by the way, it makes perfect sense. If you love someone, you spend time with them, right? If you love a certain person or a certain hobby, you spend time with that. Doing it. Okay? The psalmist spent time in the Word. On verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect in thy ways. Verse 23, Prince also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 48, my hand also will I lift up unto thy commandment, which I have loved, all right, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, and in my meditation all the day. He loved the law, so what did he do? He spent time in the Word of God. He chased after it. He begged understanding. He delighted in it. It wasn't a chore or something he was made to do. It was a privilege. And by the way, whether it's a person that you love, whether it's a thing that you love, or something you want to do that you love, you don't have to be made to do it. You find time, you make time to do it. What you always say, you make time to do what you love. The same thing true with the Word of God. And if you love the Word of God, then I'll tell you what you've been doing this last week. You've been spending time in the Word of God. You've been spending time in the Word of God. And if you're like me, I need to fall in love with the Word of God, then let me tell you what to do. Then spend time in the Word of God. Yes. Learning is important, but you also need to love it. And you're probably not going to love it if you don't spend time meditating on it. Why is loving it so important? Because a person who loves the Word will love it, will live it. I'm going to read verse 22 through 24. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Prince also sit and speak against me, but I certainly meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimony are my delight and my counselor. See, what's so important? And you can take the Word of God, and you can study it. You can get a magnifying glass, you can make notes, and you can study 3 hours a day. That's great. But here's the problem. If you don't fall in love with it, you're not going to follow it. And even Jesus said, the principle is in John 14:19, if you love me, keep my commandments. You're not going to follow the Word if you don't love it. You spend time with what you love, and you follow in love with what you spend time in. So what do we need to do? Personally, what's the key to life? What's the key to this church moving forward? Number one, learn it. Number two, love it. But number three, live it. Live it. Here's the reward. Number eight is the reward here. When you learn it, we love it, and then we live it. Here's the thing, and we'll go back to Proverbs, you'll have to turn there, but Proverbs 19:18. But where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, he that lives it, happy is he. Psalm 119. So if you stay there, look at verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep thy testimony, that seek him with their whole heart. See, we made a full circle. And we'll be happy when we got to learn it. We got to live it. We got to love it. And when we love it, we live it. And when you live it, when you start following after God, that's when you're going to be fully satisfied. That's when you're going to have blessing. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have problems, but that is what you have to do. It said there in Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, blessed are the undefiled. You know what that is? That's someone who is following the Word of God, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep the testimony. The blessing, the happiness, the safety, the guidance of the Lord is found in living out the Word of God. Like that, it's not, Christianity is very spiritual, but it's not mystical. Like, you want to know, you know, God, you said, God's going to keep me safe. Yeah, you know how he's going to keep you safe? He gave it to us right here. He gave us the flashlight to life. He gave us the flashlight to life. We don't just walk out on Monday and say, all right, God, just guide me. God does work in supernatural ways. Don't get me wrong. Just guide me, God. Like I said, you know, just God gave us this, and he wants us to study it. And he wants us to learn it. He wants us to love it. He wants us to go out and obey it. Whether we're a boss at work that day, or a co-worker, a husband, a wife, a parent, and we want to keep everything safe. We want our lives. We want everything to advance. And right here and here. Right here and here. Right, we got to do it, and we got to live it. The Word of God will guide you, but only if you live it, if you obey it. There is a certain amount of reward, but doesn't mean it won't be hard times. But we have to live it. However, many fail to do this. And we see that here, and let it be the rebuke. Now, you can turn there and know these verses. James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. You may want to turn there, 'cause I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses here. Or maybe just, yeah, 4, I think. And you know where I'm going with this? Yeah. This plagued all of us. And what? Me. It does me so many times. It says this. James said, but be ye a doer of the word. That means live it out. And not a hearer only. Deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he behold himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, and he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, here it is, remain a full circle, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And go back to the introduction. And a direct correlation between being blessed and being at peace, and even a certain element of happiness in your life when you live out the Word of God. Here's my fear in personally, but also as church. And that we learn it. We learn it. That's what most churches are doing. They're learning, and that's very important. We learn it. personally been learning it. Then you have a few out of that group that love it. They fall in love with it. And then live it out. We have so many people who, why do people, why do people come to church for 18, 20 years of life and when they get grown and you don't never see them again? They learned it. Now you can quote the memory verses. They learned it. But they never fell in love with it. Never fell in love with it. That's not what it is. That's what it is. I mean, you want to know why people are not in church, they used to be in church, and because they learned it. But they don't love it. And if you don't love it, well, you're not going to live it. You're going to live what you love, and they're living it. The answer is they don't love it. So what do we need to do personally? Well, personally, I want to challenge you. I want you to learn it. Okay? Once again, as a pastor, that's why I'm so big on expository preaching. I want you to learn. I love preaching this. This right here takes me 2 or 3 hours to build compared to studying out a text. It takes me 10 hours at least, probably. We need to learn it even in church. You need to learn it at home. Right? You need to love it. And the way you're going to love it is spending time with the Word yourself. Which is why when I started doing the devotion book, the small groups, you know the purpose of that was? To equip people in church to fall in love with the Word of God. See, that's what we're missing. We're learning it. But we got so many people who need help loving the Word of God. Because they love it, and you're not going to love it unless you start walking with God yourself. So even as a church, I'm going to ask you this. As a church, are we helping people love it? Are we talking about discipleship? Are we taking people by the hand and say, hey, what you need to do, you need to walk with God each and every day. And then, are you living it? I mean, by the way, living it also tells you if you love it. That's the key to life. That's the key to your marriage. That's the key to your kids' life. That's the key to, what it is, no matter what is in your life, it's the key to the church, to the Word of God has to be the essential thing, and we have to learn it, but we can't just stop there. We have to love it, and we have to live it. Let me ask you, are you living it? I mean, some of the, okay, well, yeah, I am, Pastor Will. Right, things that are hard to do. Like bitterness, gossip, being ill, not being loving. I mean, people are not loving back to you. Are you living that out? This needs to be our personal goals, but it also needs to be the goal of our church. You need to be concerned about loving it, living it, and living it. We in the church need to make sure that we're equipping each other to learn it, to love it, and to live it. That's what we need to do. That's the key. No matter what area of life it is, that's the three keys to life. Learn it, love it, live it. And we're standing at our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. Miss Tammy's going to come up and she's going to just play a verse of invitation. Let me ask you, where are you at today? Where are you at today? Where are you at today? I know when you're not following the Word of God, you think you're doing what's right. But you're not going to be smarter than God. You're not smarter than God. Never will be. Never have been. Here's the thing. We need to learn it. Hey, maybe some of you, maybe you're like me. Maybe you don't spend enough time in the Word, personally. Maybe you do, but you're not really learning anything. Maybe you're just reading a little one or two verses. And I'm not, hey, if that's where you start at, I'm very thankful for that. You read a couple of verses and reading a little devotional. And it takes 5 minutes and you're walking away. And once again, I'm glad you're doing that. I don't want you to stop doing that. But we need to add to it. We need to learn the Word of God. Maybe that's what it is for today. As she begins to play, maybe you need to learn it. Maybe God has placed his heart in. I need to spend more time in the Word of God, learning it. Or maybe today, you're here, maybe you need to learn to love it. Maybe you don't love it. Maybe you're not spending time, but let me tell you, let me challenge you this. If you spend time in the Word, you're going to love it. You're going to fall in love with it. You can't help it. And even someone, even if there's someone you don't like, if you start spending time with them, get to know them, you're going to start liking them, right? Same thing with the Word of God. Man, if you start spending time in the Word, you're going to fall in love with it. And that is so important. But when you love it, you're going to live it. And that's what God wants. God wants us to live it. He wants us to live it. And that's the key. That's the key to life. And for us to live out that. So as she plays here, and God spoke to you, maybe you should come down to the altar. Maybe you shouldn't just be a hearer today. Maybe you should be a doer. And maybe that doing it start with kneeling and surrendering your life to God. Maybe today it's for salvation. Maybe today it's about just being a lazy Christian. Maybe it's about being an immature Christian. Whatever it is, I want you to get things right with God.